Gwed from Strange Lights over Garth Mountain. We got Gwennifer Raymond, the guitar player, in our show today, and she picked all of the songs for today's episode. Next one is Michael Hurley, and it's a song that I got to know from a cover from Cat Power, but I didn't know the original, Werewolf. He's another musician from the 1670s era, Greenwich Village. We already had Karen Dalton. You could put her there. And Michael Hurley as well. If you could have been a musician in any era, any place, anywhere, which one would you have picked?
I don't know. I don't know if I believe in that question. Can I just be now?
You know what I mean? Picking now actually has a lot of upsides as well.
Yeah, you know, we can continue to have this conversation. I won't pop out of existence. We'll be fine. Yeah, you know, there's upsides to, you know, 60s, 70s Greenwich Village. I'm sure there's downsides, you know. There's a lot of, I'm sure it's not the most fun time to be a woman, to be honest. I think those sorts of aspects are going to come more into, hopefully, a bit better now. You know, maybe not. But yeah, let's just say now. Fuck it. Or no, in 50 years' time in the apocalypse, I can be a wandering minstrel in the apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah, that's a good question. If there was an apocalypse or a zombie apocalypse, let's make a little bit more fun. A zombie apocalypse, what would be your special gift be to help the group survive?
It would be... sacrificing myself in the most embarrassing way possible so that they may live, despite all of my struggles to betray them.
Now, are you into those zombie series, like The Walking Dead, that kind of stuff?
I watched the first season of it. Yeah, it's like that Frank Darabont thing, isn't it? Yeah, I watched the first season of it, and it was pretty good. I haven't continued with it, to be honest. There's too much telly. I can't keep up with it, man. I watch more movies than telly, I think, but because it's too much of a commitment.
What are your favorite zombie movies?
I mean, you know, it's a bit on the nose, isn't it? Dawn of the Dead, I mean, some of those, you know, the unofficial sequels, like the zombie movies, like the Italian Fulci stuff and all that, those are pretty fun too. Yeah. I've got a memory of being, like, I don't know how I got away with it, being a little kid. And borrowing a VHS from the local library because they loaned VHSs, and it was one of the zombie movies. Yeah, because it's got that bit where the hand smashes the door and it pulls her eyeball into the shard of wood. So I was like a 10-year-old watching that. So it was pretty good.
I think the most recent good one I saw was a South Korean one. It was called Train to Busan.
Train to Busan, yeah, I was going to throw you. Yeah, that's great. The one Cut of the Dead's really good too. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, I need to look that one up.
That's great. It's sort of, you know, it's one you can't explain, but it's in sections, and after 20 minutes in, it takes an interesting turn. It's great though.
Yeah. Okay. From zombies to the werewolf of Michael Hurley.
For the werewolf comes stepping alone. He don't even break the branches where he's been gone. You can hear his long holler from way across the moon. That's the holler of the werewolf when he's feeling poor. For the werewolf has sympathy. 'Cause the werewolf is somebody like you. Once I saw him in the moonlight when the bats were flying. All alone I saw the werewolf and the werewolf was crying. nobody knows how much I love the maid as I tear off her clothes, crying nobody knows of my pain. When I see that it's risen, that full moon again, crying nobody knows of my pain. When I see that it's risen, that full moon again, an old Igor told me, man, it's this little flute I play. But I never play in the light of day. Well, when you do play your flute, what do you play on your flute?
By Michael Hurley. The next one you picked, Gwennifer, is Bingo Gazingo. You're going to have to explain that a little bit.
Look, man. Look, Bingo Gazingo is the cool. I can't talk to you. You don't know who Bingo Gazingo is. Because it's like he was this New York street poet. And he would just be on the streets, you know, in the subway or in the streets, just doing this like free form poetry, man. He was usually pretty filthy as well. I think at some point he got voted by some local newspaper, you know, New York's dirtiest old man. But he got taken up into the, you know, the outsider music genre, as it were. And he sort of bands started to back his wonderful ramblings, which is this one. This is My Robot Friend, isn't it? Yeah. His is great. I've got the whole album on CD, which I don't know. That might be super rare. I don't know how many of those got burnt, but the whole thing's great. Like Psycho, I fucking love you so much I can't shit. Oh Madonna, you stole my pants. There's so many tracks to pick from on that album, man. It's good.
You're Out of the Computer by Bingo Gazingo.
You're out of the computer. I didn't abuse you. I didn't shoot you. I just took you out of the computer. And I turned my head and I said, you couldn't be cuter, but you're out of the computer. Because you're the world's worst slacker. And I'm the world's greatest slacker. I know. You were a hooker. You're out of the computer. What is the word we need? Depressed?
Yeah.
programmer, and I'm the world's greatest hacker. You were the one I would die for. You were the one I would climb the sky for. You were my lover, but you made me suffer when you became the world's greatest surfer. Now you're out of the computer. You were sublime, but you were offline with the online. Do I have to throw you a diorama? You're the world's worst hammer. You're the world's worst slammer. I wish things could be smoother, but they couldn't be blacker. I'm the world's greatest hacker. I'm the world's greatest high hacker. I'm the world's greatest hacker. And you're the world's worst Bloomberg man. I took away your key, I took away your mouse. I'm a techie, I'm a louse. I threw you out of the house, and now you're out of the computer. And even if you yell, I need a key, you ain't getting back, cause you're out of the computer. Wonderful moments in your components. Get out of my memory. Get your digitals out of my modules. Get your mishmash out of my Macintosh, or I'll hit you with a twist wristwatch. You show them your modem, and it sure as my name is Yehuda. You're out of the computer. We were riding down the highway when you put your hand on my vibrate, and you tried to sell me a floppy of my biopsy and a copy of my autopsy. You looked at my iris and you gave me a virus. You took away my lab test. You took away my website. You took away my disk drive. Took away my database, and you drove away with my floppy, and you scrambled my scanner, and you took away my banner. You're the world's worst home shopper. You're the world's worst pornographer. And if you see me first, you say hello. And if I see you first, I'll say hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Log off! You're out of the computer!
You're out of the computer by Bingo Gazingo. Gwennifer, if I'm not mistaken, you used to work for a software company for Creative.
I used to work. Yeah, I mean, I still work in video games. But yeah, my first job in video games was for Creative Assembly, working on Total War.
So how is that for you? Combining your daytime job with your music.
It's okay, you know. I mean, places I've worked at, especially recently, have been, as I've had to play more gigs, you know, recently than I sort of did in the early in my games career, as it were. Yeah, been pretty understanding. I mean, I've just actually started a company with a bunch of guys. We are an audio implementer in video games. So a bunch of audio designers, and I do the code bits, because that's what I do. So that's kind of, yeah, again, hopefully it's going to provide some more freedom, as, you know, kind of one of the bosses now, I guess. That's weird. Yeah.
Wait, that was not 100% clear to me. Like, what does your company do exactly?
For example,
I'm a video game studio or something, and I need audio. I contact you guys. What will you guys do for me then?
This is a sale pitch. We got a job. we do the whole thing. Like, so you need some audio in your video game. So theoretically, so we do everything, right? So theoretically, you could just go, I want you to make audio for my game, and then you don't have to worry about it. Like, the guys will do all the implementation of the assets, and, you know, the middleware implementation in UIs and your FMOD and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's my job, because I did the codey bits. I get in your game engine and I write code to interface between your game code and the audio systems that we make.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next artist you selected is Abner J. The album is One Man Band. And he really was a one man band. Damn it. That's a hard word. A one-man band. He used to perform on stage solo with all kinds of instruments. Is that something you would like to do more, incorporating more instruments in your live show? Because up until now, it's been mostly solo guitar, right?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm pretty happy with the solo guitar. I think I've messed around with putting extra stuff, you know, in my tracks before, but I think there's something about, like, I can sit and I can play guitar and I can write an entire song, and that is the entire song, right? There's nothing else to it, and it, I don't know, I think there's a sort of purity in composition to that I like. Like, it's kind of like, it's true for all things. Like, even with like proper classical, like compositional music. I always prefer, you know, the solo piano versions of stuff more than the sort of bombastic, all the instruments being thrown in. Yeah, it's just for my style, certainly. But I mean, but with Abner Jay is a different thing. I mean, he was just a singular man. Amazing.
I Want a Job by Abner Jay.
Terrible things are always making headlines. Every time you turn your television on the news, you see something that happened that is terrible. Maybe you all never seen me on television. It's possible, because I've never been on television. You got to be terrible to get on television. Listen, I don't have to do this for a living. Next week, I'm thinking about going back to my old job. I was a lifeguard at a minute car wash. I just come back from 12 weeks on Broadway looking for work. I want a job. I just want to work. I don't want to play with you. No, no, I just want to work with you. I don't want to socialize. I don't want to apologize. I have 10 lovely kids and a most beautiful wife. In the 30s and 40s, when wages were low, I worked 12 hours a day, sometimes even more. Now them unions that organize and the pay is good, I can't get no job now because they say I'm no damn good. Then too, they say you got to be a relative to join the union. Now how in the hell can I be a relative? But when they was paying 30 cents an hour, I worked as plumber, pipe fitter, rigger, metal worker, tool and die maker, carpenter and cement finisher, technician, electrician, wall bone hanger, and painter. Now they paying from $3 to $6 an hour. Every time I apply for a job, tell me to come back tomorrow. When some of my other brethren can't even read nor write, but they all got jobs. Some of them even working day and night, holding down two jobs when I can't even get one. Biggest joke I ever heard, this thing they call civil rights. Listen, man, I don't want to fuss nor fight. I'm not that type. All I want is a job. I'll work day or night. I don't want to play with you. I just want to work with you. Well, I'm 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, broad in the shoulders, wide in the hips. I got big, strong muscles, big, thick lips. Get my message, get it straight. All I want's a job and I ain't gonna wait. I want a job. I just wanna work. I don't wanna play with you. No, no, I just wanna work with you. I don't wanna socialize. I don't wanna apologize. I have 10 lovely kids and I'm all beautiful wife. Listen, man, all I want, Lord knows all I want, is a J-O-B, a doggone good cotton picking job, sitting down drinking booze.
Thank you. on a Mexican cowboy who stepped up to me. Say, now, you young fella, would you love to go? And he spent another season with me in Mexico.
Mexico by Roscoe Holcomb. Yeah, Gwennifer Holcomb, he was, or he had a very interesting career. He was a laborer and a miner for most of his life, and afterwards he got picked up as a musician, and then he started performing. And he also had a very interesting way of singing, right?
Yeah, he had that sort of, he was, that's capability of reaching that high falsetto, although I mean apparently he always claimed that the falsetto that we hear on, you know, the recordings that there are of him are nothing compared to what he could do in his youth, and that's a mystery lost to time, that, because it never got recorded. I would have been really curious to hear what that sounded like.
A lot of the songs you picked for us actually contain voices, but all of the songs on your solo albums are instrumentals. Have you ever thought about incorporating somebody else's voice into your music?
I think similarly as to the idea of putting more instruments in there, it just doesn't really work. Especially with singing, where it's quite, you know, it's got that really rigorous form to it almost. I'm too all over the place. I don't think I could really work so well with other people. I mean, I could probably do something else, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a different sort of vibe. But for my, solo stuff, as that stuff exists, I think it's probably going to be certainly instrumental. Because I think that's what it does, right? I love, you know, music with vocals in it. I guess there are a lot of, I wasn't even thinking about it. These were mostly just, I mostly just picked banging tracks rather than anything else. I similarly could do a playlist which was all instrumental stuff. I think it would be something different if I did something with a singer. I think it would be quite different to my own solo stuff.
Okay, we're going to listen to another banging song. Sometimes There's Blood off of You Never Were Much of a Dancer. Sometimes There's Blood, Gwennifer Raymond. Next album you picked for us, or artist, I should say, are the Pixies. You picked one of their earlier albums, Surfer Rosa. Is that your favorite Pixies album?
Well, I mean, so my first Pixies album was that one. That was the, it was the double album. It's in the double, you know, CD with two albums on, with Surfer Rosa and Come On Pilgrim. And I have never learned which is which. So it's a split. It's a split tie between Surfer Rosa and Come On Pilgrim, because that was my first Pixies album. But this is definitely my favorite track by the Pixies. Like growing up, I played in a lot of kind of sort of left field punk and grunge bands in the South Wales valleys, and the two point bands for me was always the Butthole Surfers and Pixies, and especially, like, I do think Joey Santiago is one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time, and because he's the opposite of what you think of in those really, you know, as like Eddie Van Halen, like super speed riffs. Like, he plays one note and he holds it and he bends it, and it's just, you know, it's the right note at the right time with the right inflection, which is actually really it's actually really a blues aesthetic, you know. Like there's some probably apocryphal story of some blues player, like I think Honey Boy Edwards or someone like that, saying some lines along something along the lines of, they got, you know, you got all these young players playing all these notes all over the, all, you know, all these notes all over the place. I just like to play this one note, and I think it sounds good. And I think that's kind of what Santiago does, you know. It's just that one note, man, but it's the right note.
Yeah. I think Kim Deal also does kind of the same thing on bass in the Pixies. Like, she has very simple bass patterns. And there's not a lot of unnecessary fluff in there as well. It's just the bare
she's
notes.
Great. Well, she does the she uses a pick as well, which I always really like. And I always annoy bassists in bands I play on by making them play with a pick, because I just like that sound more than, you know, all bassists want to play fingerstyle, but they should band, and everyone should play with a pick, because it's in under my Reich. That's what I will establish. I was thinking Santiago plays the right note at the right time, but actually what I love about Vamos is just complete chaos and noise, which is the other thing I'd like to do in bands I play in.
All right, let's listen to the best rock guitar player in the business, Vamos by the Pixies.
We'll be right back.
Vamos by the Pixies. Next up are the Byrds. And you have two main musical eras of the Byrds. By and large, you have the psychedelic era on the one hand in the early 60s, and then you have their transformation into country rock towards the later end of the 60s. And you picked something off of Sweetheart of the Rodeo, which is more towards country.
Yeah, I just like it, man. I think it's a cool album. It's got that perfect space cowboy sort of vibe to it, which is really, really, really dig. You know, it's nice. Put that on the headphones, wandering around Brian. This one's really hard to articulate. I just really, really like this album. And I'm always, it's one of those ones you go back to, you know, let's put on loop.
The song title, The Christian Life, interesting lyrics.
Have you ever think there might be some irony involved?
I saw the song title and I was looking it up and I was, maybe there was some irony in there or not, because I know that the Flying Burrito Brothers have some ironic songs about the United, or about joining the army during the Vietnam War and stuff like that. So I know there is some subversive element in country music in that era, but I don't know if that song is that particular.
Hey man, might not be, but you know, like, man, Violent Femmes, some of their best songs were their really Christian songs. I mean, I'm an atheist, but I can still dig a good tune.
Well, yeah, I mean, classic composers, a lot of them did Christian music for mass and stuff like that. And there's amazing stuff in there, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, The Christian Life by the Byrds.
My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun. But I still love them and I sing with pride. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by heeding God's call. For what is a friend who'd want you to fall? Others find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life. My buddies shun me since I turned to Jesus. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun. I live without them and walk in the light. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by heeding God's call. Others find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life. I like the Christian life.
The Christian Life by the Byrds. Number 14 in our list is Blind Boy Fuller, musician, 30s, 40s. He was very well known for his ragtime music.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he might be one of my all-time favorite pickers from that era. Just really expressive, but you know, I don't really normally go for technical skill, but with Blind Boy Fuller, he's like that perfect combination of, you know, they're great tunes and they're really, really interesting and fun to listen to, and they're really hard to play. Like, he's a great player, and he does all these kind of showbiz things where he'll, like, you know, run up the neck and do all this, which is, I think, I kind of, it's kind of cheap. It's like, it would be cheesy when done now, I suppose, but when Blind Boy Fuller does it, it's cool, man. Yeah, just that really interesting rhythm, that dancing rhythm that's really hard to fake, I think. You kind of can't learn to play like that. You just got to sort of naturally play like that. Yeah, he's, yeah, one of the best.
Jitterbug Rag by Blind Boy Fuller.
Thank you.
Three Deaths of Red Spectre by Gwennifer Raymond. If I'm not mistaken, that was kind of like a Christmassy song, or at least it came out during the winter.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a Christmas song, and then it kind of really... I think it's a Christmas song. I could maybe put some jingle bells behind it. It has that kind of dark, cold ghost story vibe to it, doesn't it? Which you associate with ghost stories at Christmas, you know, like those old BBC shows. I don't know. I think I'm tying everything to old media, aren't I?
your most recent album came out last year. Everything is a little bit unsure or shaky, planning wise, this year. But what are your plans musically for 2021?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's kind of hard to tell because we just, we just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I do suspect things are going to be pretty closed, until maybe, certainly, going abroad and stuff like that until maybe the end of this year. But, hopefully when things open up, and I do have one show booked, which is my much delayed album release show. It was originally scheduled in November. Now it's going to be May 26th in the Islington Assembly Hall in London. So I think that'll be, my first live show in more than a year when that happens. So that'll be interesting. See if I can still play guitar. But hopefully, towards the end of the year, as things open up, we'll start playing some shows. Try and make it off this island if possible, or end up in some sort of escape from New York scenario. Like I said before, just playing guitar. To shambling masses, I'll be fine. And trying to write some new stuff to do another album. I'm a pretty slow writer generally, because I sort of piecemeal my songs together as they sort of appear to me, which is like a pretentious way of saying it, but this is what happens. Like a jigsaw puzzle is weird. So try and write some stuff and hopefully play some shows. Hopefully the mutation of COVID won't kill us all. That'll be nice. So yeah.
Last song you selected was one from the Shangri-Las, and you also picked one of the big hits. sorry, I have to do that again. Last song you selected was one from the Shangri-Las, and you picked one of the big hits of the Shangri-Las. Not Leader of the Pack, but Remember Walking in the Sand. Why that song?
I think it was a toss-up between that and You Can Never Go Home Again, which are definitely my two favorite Shangri-La songs. Just production quality, melodrama alone. Like, Shangri-La is by far and away the best girl band of the 60s. Definitely the highest body count of any band I've ever heard of. I think no one survives a Shangri-La song. It's just the best. Like, seriously. So yeah, I don't know. It's just great songwriting. Completely bombastic and over the top, and yet somehow it works. They're the best. Come on. Say them and Bing and Gazingo. If you don't like Bing and Gazingo, you don't like the Shags, we can't hang out. Shags? So Shangri-La's also the Shags, but the Shangri-La's, we can't hang out.
Okay, Gwennifer, I want to thank you for taking the time for doing this interview. I wish you all the best in these uncertain times, and we're going to listen to your last song, Remember Walking in the Sand by the Shangri-La's.